praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee served the Lord faithfully for more than 70 years, culminating with his exhaustive commentary on the entire scriptures called Life Study of the Bible. Today, we're happy to bring you recorded excerpts from his ministry, along with some of our own considerations. At the end of the program, we'll give you the website where you can find more about the remarkable ministry of these two men. But for now, please enjoy today's program.
Welcome once again to the Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. This program is provided by Living Stream Ministry, located in Anaheim, California. The Life Study of the Bible was begun in 1974 by Witness Lee. At that time, he was nearly 70 years of age. We're very grateful before the Lord to bring you excerpts of those original recorded messages in this program. And to join us for the fellowship today is Ron Kangas. Welcome to the program, Ron.
I'm always glad to be here, Matt.
Ron, there's a wonderful realization about Romans that I'd like you to comment on before we join Witness Lee with our message today, and that is that Paul seems to be gazing at many of the major items of the Old Testament as he composed the book of Romans.
We know that Paul, in his religious background, was exceedingly zealous and strongly exercised in the scriptures and in the teachings that he inherited. Therefore, the Old Testament, especially the first five books from Moses, were central to his development and to his spiritual understanding. After the Lord appeared to him in a heavenly vision and called him, and Paul responded, as he testified later, Christ was revealed in him, and Christ began to live in him. Surely, much light shined into Paul with respect to the spiritual significance of what we call the Old Testament. For this reason, while he was writing Romans, he could draw upon what had been already wrought into his being concerning the early chapters of Genesis. Man's disobedience to God, forsaking God signified by the tree of life, and partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil signifying Satan, and then the element of Satan as sin unto death entered into human beings. Then Paul could trace the stages of the fall. During the time prior to the flood was a dispensation where there was no human government, but people should live according to conscience. But it was mainly lawless. Then he could draw upon the typology or the imagery of the tabernacle and the furniture to refer to the ark, particularly the lid of the ark that he calls the expiation cover in Romans chapter 3. Then in chapter 4, he draws upon the history of Abraham, the father of faith, and how Abraham was brought back to God as the tree of life, had God's element infused into him by the God of glory, became the pattern, even the father of faith, and through his faith he was justified and declared righteous. This is some of the background to Paul's composing the Epistle to the Romans.
Thanks, Ron. Let's join Witness Lee for today's Life Study of Romans. This is program number 9 of the Life Study of Romans, and corresponds with printed message number 8 from the Life Study of Romans.
The real experience of God's call ones with God. nearly has no human word to describe. God has transfused himself into us. In the third heavens, there is the power plant. And how could that power be transmitted to us by his transfusion? When the transfusion comes, we are within his infusing. And this infusing of his divine element will saturate and permeate our whole being. Then out of this permeation with the divine element, all kinds of spiritual virtues, divine attributes will react. And the first reaction is to believe. That is our faith. The Bible tells us it is not a human virtue. It is absolutely a reaction of the divine element infused into us, with which our being has been fully saturated and permeated. Surely, the very God, as the heavenly electricity, has to come to his chosen ones. Every time the appearing of God to a person, I tell you, transfuses something into that person. And that causes a kind of infusing, a kind of saturating, a kind of permeating. Whenever we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in the proper way, my, I tell you, the appearance of the living Jesus is there. And this appearing of Jesus just transfuses Jesus into you. Even you don't know it. But it happens. When it happens, you can never stay away. This kind of divine word in the Bible is not superficial. We couldn't understand it by our superficial mind.
Ron, this portion that Witness Lee just spoke regarding the infusion of faith really warrants more fellowship. When we experience the appearing of God, faith is infused into us as it was with Abraham. With Abraham, however, God's appearing was outward and physical. How does God appear to us today?
Let's begin by a brief review of Abraham's experience. He was living in a city full of idolatry, Ur of the Chaldees. He surely was not a worshiper of the true and living God. But according to Acts chapter 7, verse 2, the God of glory appeared to him. Glory is God expressed. When God appeared to him, God infused an element into Abraham, appearing after appearing, that produced faith, the ability to believe, that Abraham spontaneously exercised by believing into God in Genesis 15:6 and being justified unto righteousness. So yes, the Lord appeared to Abraham repeatedly in that age in a more outward way. Now, we are in the age of grace, the age of the church. It's also rightly called the age of mystery, wherein we have Christ as the mystery of God and the church as the mystery of Christ. And we know from Revelation 10:7, eventually the mystery of God will be finished. So part of this mystery is that nothing truly spiritual is visible. So then, in our experience, what happens? One verse that enlightens us concerning this in more ways than one is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. where Paul says, "The God who said, 'Out of darkness, light shall shine,' has shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Then in the same book, chapter 3, verse 18, Paul says, "We all with unveiled face behold and reflect the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory." From these verses and others, we can understand and testify, supported by our experience, that the gospel that Paul preached, mentioned in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, is the gospel of the glory of Christ. So when this gospel is preached and Christ is proclaimed and expressed, the God of glory spiritually and invisibly shines into our hearts through our open mind, into our heart, reaching our spirit. That is an infusion. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're told to look away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and Jesus is at the right hand of God in glory. So inwardly in our spirit, we turn away from outward things and look away unto him. Furthermore, we come to our dear Lord in the Word, which, as he says in John 5, testifies concerning him. So we come to him with an unveiled face, as an open vessel. We contact him through prayer. We seek him in the Word. And God shines in our hearts. Many of us can testify of this. This is a reality. And that shining produces in us the same kind of faith that the God of glory transfused into Abraham. This is our corporate testimony to all our beloved brothers and sisters. This is the source of faith. It doesn't reside in us. The source is the God of glory himself, his transfusing of his element into us, enables us to believe. So it is by the faith that's from God that we believe in God and believe in Christ and his redemptive death and life-imparting resurrection and are justified by grace through faith.
Thank you, Ron. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for more of today's Life Study from Romans.
Well, Abraham got something of God's element by God's infusion. But Abraham didn't have the experience. Right? You have Christ, but Christ hasn't become your experience. In the day when we called him, he came in. And we got Christ. And Christ is our righteousness. Right? Not only our believing, but also our righteousness. But by that time, Christ has not become our experience yet. Am I right? So we need a Sarah. Don't cooperate with Hagar. Don't go to the law. But cooperate with God's grace. Go to Sarah. Then you will get the experience of what God has given you as righteousness. Don't go to making up your mind to do good. Go to Sarah. Go to get yourself married with grace. And then this will bring forth Christ, Isaac. Isaac is a solid experience of the righteousness of God, which God gave to Abraham. Then you will treasure this. Oh, you will consider, my, what an experience. So precious, so dear. Oh, this is my dear only begotten. Then God appeared to you again. Would you still go on with me? Would you enjoy my further appearing? Would you? If you would, give up this. But you have to bring the very Christ whom you have experienced to my altar.
Amen.
An offer to me.
Amen.
Let me be satisfied. Would you do it? Out of 100 saints who have this kind of experiences, not one would do it.
Amen.
You know the story?
Yep.
Now God came to right Abraham. And Abraham offered what God gave him.
Yeah.
Abraham offered this to satisfy God.
Yeah.
So right away, in Genesis 22, God is not the God that calls things not being as being. But now in Genesis 22, God was another kind of God. The God that gives life to the dead.
Amen.
You read Hebrews chapter 11.
Yeah.
Isaac was resurrected.
Yeah.
And Abraham received back the resurrected Isaac from God.
Yeah.
You know what? This is a further, a richer, transfusing, infusing, permeating of God into Abraham. He got a full portion of God. And what was the full portion of God? That was the further coming of God into him, not in an individual way, but in a corporate way.
Right.
Because Isaac eventually became thousands of descendants
right.
to Abraham.
Right.
And this thousand descendants of Abraham became the kingdom of God
right.
on this earth. To accomplish, to fulfill God's purpose.
Well, Ron, this is quite profound, and we need to stop and talk about it right here. Would you say something about how, in our experience, once we have experienced this infusion of faith, we desire to offer something to God, but the only thing that satisfies God is Christ?
Well, we refer to Abraham's more advanced experience here. In Genesis 5, faith was infused into him. He believed, and righteousness was attributed to him. Then later, he was able to believe in the promise that despite his age and the age of his wife, he would have a son, and Isaac was born in the fullness of time. Then, after more time with the Lord, more living in his presence, more infusion, God came to him again with the requirement to go to Mount Moriah and to offer Isaac as an offering to God. Well, faith, once it's developed in us, enables us to react positively, to respond to the Lord of glory with whatever he is requiring. This response or this reaction is not from our natural life where we want to do something for God and sacrifice something for God by our own effort. No, this is a spontaneous response, reaction, to the Lord's appearing, and then we, through faith, now believing not only in the God who calls things not being as being, the God of creation, but the God who gives life to the dead, the God of resurrection, and we make the offering in the obedience of faith. The Lord honors our faith by making himself known to us as the God of resurrection, and then bestowing on us more blessings for the fulfillment of his eternal purpose.
Thanks, Ron. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
Well, dear saints, is this all clear to you? And this is why after chapter 3 of Romans, Paul was forced, was burdened to pick up Abraham's history to put into Romans as chapter 4. As a portrait to show us what is the real purpose of God's justification. The purpose is to have a reproduction of Christ in so many saints.
Yeah.
that so many saints with the reproduction of Christ in them may be many members to form the body. And this body today is the kingdom of God. On this earth to fulfill God's purpose. And this is fully expanded in chapter 12 and chapter 14 and chapter 15 and chapter 16 of Romans. Because you have the kingdom of God and you have all the local churches expressing the body of Christ, which is today's God's kingdom. And this is composed of not one Isaac, but many Isaacs. All this comes out of God's justification. All this comes out of the real experience of God's justification. Do you realize when Abraham was called out of Chaldee to God, that means Abraham was brought back to the tree of life. He was brought back to the tree of life. The principle of the tree of life is to depending. And the principle of the tree of knowledge is to go away. One is to depend upon, the other is to go away. Away from what? Away from God. Every day, every hour, you have to depend upon God as your life. Yeah. Don't do anything by yourself. Your whole self have to be stopped, terminated, cut off, circumcised, or you say baptized, buried. Then let God be everything to you. Then you could really say, there's no more I, but Christ that lives in me. Even the life today I live it not by anything of me, but by the faith of the Son of God. You see, this is Abraham's life. We all are the descendants of Abraham. He is our father. We all are his children. The same as he. We are in his believing footsteps under God's saturated.
Ron, in this final section with Witness Lee, justification is the topic. And we know that justification by faith is a major topic in the book of Romans. What does it mean that God's purpose in justification is to be brought back to the tree of life?
This is a very good question. Justification by faith is foundational. It is an undeniable, indisputable truth of the gospel. Without this, none of us can be saved and appear before a righteous God. But many stop with just the outward objective side. We're justified by faith. We're declared righteous. So now our sins can be forgiven and we have eternal life. We'll spend eternity with God. But let's recall that God created us, as Genesis 1:26 through 28 reveals, for the fulfillment of his purpose. And God's purpose is carried out not by our human life, by our natural ability, but only by God's life itself, signified by the tree of life. Therefore, the goal, the object of justification, is not only that we'll be reckoned as righteous and be forgiven and have peace with God, but it is to bring us back to God himself and to know him as the tree of life, as the eternal life, so that through this life we can contribute to the fulfillment of God's purpose. In Romans chapter 5, Paul speaks of justification unto life. The Lord wants to give us his eternal life, signified by the tree of life. But in Genesis 3, the way to the tree was closed and blocked by the cherubim with a flaming sword, signifying God's righteousness, holiness, and glory. Those requirements of God's being must be fulfilled before he can be free to dispense his life into us. But the book of Romans reveals that Christ's redemption and resurrection fulfill these requirements. And when we receive faith through infusion and believe in God and are justified before him and by him, then he can make real to us Paul's word in Romans 5, we're justified unto life. And that life is the eternal life signified by the tree of life. So the goal of this justification is to bring us back to God as the tree of life, so that through this life he can fulfill his purpose, his eternal plan, to have many sons, many brothers of Christ, conform to his image. That's Romans 8:29. And if we read carefully Romans chapter 4, which refers to Genesis 15:6 about Abraham's being justified by faith, we will see the issue, the goal, is to bring forth the promised seed, the descendants of Abraham, who would be a multitude. And this multitude, eventually all the believers, will be the members of the body of Christ to carry out and fulfill God's purpose.
Well, Ron, this was a wonderful life study today. Thank you for your fellowship. I'm glad we have many more ahead of us.
I really enjoyed this one, Matt. Thank you.
And thank you also for joining us. You can contact us toll-free at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. These are classic messages from a classic book in the Bible. Every serious Christian should give him or herself fully to the pages of Romans, as it contains so many of the foundational and basic elements of our faith. The Life Study of Romans continues with another message concerning justification, and until then, may the Lord be with your spirit and grace be with you. For Ron Kangas, I'm Matt Miller. Thank you for listening today.
You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, publisher and distributor of the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. If you'd like to contact us, just email radio@lsm.org or call us toll-free at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Thanks for listening.